Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, sitting in Salt Lake City after the Thunder's 107-106 win over the Utah Jazz. I am on the line with Maddie Lee, who is in Oklahoma City after another thrilling Thunder finish. What a world we live in where the Thunder can, you know, play the way that they played, which probably more spurts of bad than good. You know, they got that Paul George character on the team, which erases a lot of the bad. But I'd say the Thunder got away with one tonight. It was a good win, obviously, because it's on the road against a team in Utah whose record doesn't indicate it, but they're a good team and they're going to get better as the season goes on because their schedule is going to soften up. But, you know, two consecutive road wins against two solid teams. Utah's going to be a playoff team again, probably. Sacramento, wait to see. I don't think the Thunder can complain much about getting out of here with a one-point win, even with some of the things that they need to correct coming out of this game.
Yeah, no, it's a definitely, I'm sure they're feeling great about the results of the last couple. And going to Utah isn't easy. I mean, Paul George touched a little bit on the memories he has from the last time that they played there, which I'm sure we'll get into. But yeah, a dramatic finish, but we've had a few of those, which has been fun.
Yeah, and some of it's kind of, you know, you can attribute some of it to, you know, the Thunder being able to, you know, pull out some games and having some grit, but you can also attribute it to them putting themselves in a bad position to begin with. This was a Jazz team coming off of a, you know, a win in Portland last night, but they were on the second night of a back-to-back. The Thunder had a long stretch in the third quarter and in the fourth where Rudy Gobert was not on the floor. Paul George took full advantage of that, by the way, scoring 22 points in the fourth quarter, and I mean in the third quarter. And yet they win the game in part because they made some key defensive plays, but in part because the Jazz just didn't make shots in the second half. The Jazz were getting good shots. Derek Favors missed about three layups. You know, guys like Dante Exum and Donovan Mitchell are missing open three-pointers. It's not necessarily that the Thunder did anything particularly great tonight to stop the Jazz in terms of the defense. The defense was, I suppose, better once they made some adjustments in the second quarter to how they were defending the pick and roll. But the Jazz really let one get away more than the Thunder won this game. The Thunder made a few plays down the stretch, and we'll get to that with the whole Westbrook saga tonight. But the Jazz really blew this game. You know.
Yeah, well, you saw them start that first quarter hitting threes. Thunder, again, wasn't defending three very well. And then at the end of the game, they went – that fourth quarter, Jazz went 1 of 8 from three. And it wasn't like – they were missing on contested shots. They, like you mentioned, wide open threes that they just weren't making.
Yeah, and look, the Thunder's defense wasn't very good tonight. The Jazz ran probably about – they probably ran the same play, pick and roll, with Rudy Gobert and Ricky Rubio about four or five times in the second quarter. And the first three times, it worked wonderfully. And that's when the Jazz were able to stretch their lead to their biggest lead of the night. They got out to 13 points. You know, it starts at the point of attack. And, you know, Billy Donovan's not going to ever throw Russell Westbrook under the bus. But Russell Westbrook has to stop Ricky Rubio by himself without Steven Adams having to come up and try and get Ricky Rubio to pass around a double team. Steven Adams needs to be able to drop back by himself into pick and roll coverage on Rudy Gobert and not have to have to come up there and hedge on the pick and roll with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is perfectly capable of defending Ricky Rubio by himself, but for some reason or another, the Thunder insisted that Steven Adams had to be up there, and Ricky Rubio picked them apart. I mean, And then it puts guys like Patrick Patterson at a disadvantage, and you can't fault a guy like Patrick Patterson for, you know, not being the athlete that Jeremy Grant is, but like, he's got to rotate over. He can't rotate over fully because he's kind of like in this no man's land where if he rotates over, Rudy Gobert is going to pass out to the corner and they're going to hit a three on him. Like, if he stays, you know, if he stays down, then Rudy Gobert just gets an easy run to the rim, which he had several times. And only when Jeremy Grant got in there were they able to kind of snuff that out in the second quarter. But it really starts at the head. And that's where we get into the conversation about Russell Westbrook, who, I mean, for better or worse, decides games for the Thunder almost every night they're in a close game. He's going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to have to make a decision of whether or not he's going to take a bad shot or a good shot. He's not in rhythm offensively. And, like, tonight, it almost cost him. I mean, he takes a terrible three-pointer with, like, 12 seconds on the clock.
In a
one-possession game. You know, he's kind of flying around and not really defending anybody in particular, which leads to, you know, the Jazz racking up assists on shots. I'm my brain is mush right now. I think
they had an insane number of it was like, yeah, it was almost even.
And there was, they, like, should have had more
non-assisted shots.
At one point they had 19 assists on 21 shots. I know that for sure. That was in sometime in the first half. And it's not all Westbrook's fault. Like, Steven Adams just needs to make an executive decision and say, like, I'm going to drop on this guy. And I think Billy Donovan came and talked to Steven Adams about that that pick and roll coverage, which I don't think necessarily changed. I just think that Jeremy Grant was doing a better job of sliding over, and I think on one point he blocked Rudy Gobert. I mean, it's not like Russell Westbrook's defense got better once they had that conversation, or Steven Adams was like dropping. Yeah. He was still hedging on the pick and roll. He was still coming up and playing Rubio. So to me, it's like,
was that a team decision or a Steven Adams decision?
Well, Billy Donovan explained it as, like, they weren't good enough containing the ball to start, and they got better containing the ball, which I don't think is true. I think what happened was Jeremy Grant just rotated over a couple of times, and then they went away from it, and then Rudy Gobert, when he received that pass, he didn't pass to the corner quick enough, and he tried to go up, and Jeremy Grant just made great plays on him. I don't think they necessarily, just from what I saw just watching the game, I don't think they made any, like, wholesale changes. It's not like Steven Adams was dropping in pick and roll. He was still playing high. So, to me, I don't think they made any changes. I just think that Billy Donovan was covering for the fact that Russell Westbrook can't guard Ricky Rubio one-on-one or doesn't show the desire to do so, which is sad because Russell was all about it in the playoffs last year, which led to him getting a bunch of fouls. And Russell had a bunch of fouls tonight. Right. And Russell had a bunch of fouls tonight, which weren't necessarily just all guarding Ricky Rubio. He just picked up a bunch of fouls, whether they were offensive or, you know, attempting to play defense. And, you know, he gets a sixth foul, and that was probably his biggest play of the game in stopping Donovan Mitchell on that last play, that dunk attempt.
Oh, that was huge. And it was a rare instance in which, if he had made that, we'd be looking back at how Paul George let Donovan Mitchell get around him and lost him. Great move by Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, he crossed up Paul George really bad.
Fantastic move. He goes up. It looks like it's going to be the game-tying dunk, and then Russell Westbrook comes flying in out of nowhere, was called for the foul. I don't know. Have you seen the replays? What do you think?
I mean, it looked clean. I don't know. That's a tough play to call because I honestly think that Westbrook should have picked up his sixth foul earlier when he swooped up behind Mitchell and stole the ball from him. I think it was on the possession where Terrence Ferguson hit a three-pointer in transition. He probably should have got his sixth foul then. But
no call there.
But look, Westbrook had to make that play. And he 100%. Did the right
Either
thing.
Either way, no matter which way that call goes, great job. That saved the game.
Yeah, and you know, it saved the game by Donovan Mitchell missing the free throws missing the first free throw is what saved the game.
And then making the second didn't help.
Yeah, no, that didn't help either. But like, if you want to be cynical about it, like Westbrook fouling out, whether they go to overtime or not, is probably the best thing to happen, because then Westbrook gets out of the game and he can't jack up a bunch of threes in overtime. Like, we were talking about that in the press room. It's like he was playing so poorly offensively that, I mean, just personally with his shot selection and just he couldn't make anything. I think he was 3 of 17. You would almost rather him be off the floor in the fourth quarter and just roll with Schroeder, because he just wasn't playing well. Mm. So when he fouls out, and I'm thinking, okay, Mitchell's going to make these free throws, and the Thunder's going to, you know, the Thunder's going to go on and, you know, win or lose, they'll probably play better anyway with Westbrook off the floor. It's one of those where you look at it and you're like, Westbrook got caught up with the bad shot selection once again. And people want to kind of dig into it and try and find reasons for why Westbrook is doing the things that he does. Like, we've talked about this before. He's going to go through games where he just has to, like, take that terrible shot, and he's got to, like, get it out of his system. He's not hurt. He's still finding his rhythm, I think, because he had the injury and he had the arthroscopic surgery and blah, blah. But he's also playing a different game than he played the previous two seasons. He's not the guy that primarily has the ball in his hands anymore. Like, Paul George is creeping up on him in terms of usage. Paul George is the guy who the offense is being – who's dictating the offense right now. And that's a good thing, because Paul George is, like, right now is a better player than Russell Westbrook. He might be a better player than Russell Westbrook going forward. But Westbrook has to get these bad shots out of his system. I don't know when it's going to happen, like, fully. I don't know if it'll ever happen fully, because – this is 11 years of like residual, like, buildup of bad habits. I don't know if it's ever going to fully happen, but he's got to get that stuff out of his system, because it just puts you in such terrible positions when you're trying to close out good teams. You're giving other teams extra possessions. And, like, credit to Westbrook in this sense that, like, during these times where he is taking these terrible shots, he'll come up with a crazy defensive play to get the Thunder an extra possession, or get them, you know, closer in a game. Like when he had the two steals against, I guess, was that against Denver? I lose track of the games now. He had two steals late in the game. I don't even remember what game it was. But he's got to just stop taking those terrible shots. He's got to take less of them. Tonight, he doesn't take a ton of threes, but it's the time and the place. We talked about this time and time. We've been talking about this for like I personally, being on the beat, have been talking about this every season I've been around Russell Westbrook. It's time and place. Like, you cannot take that three-pointer in a two-possession game. Like, and he's had moments.
Especially with that much time on the clock.
No. Like, and he's had moments where he's corrected himself on that, and he hasn't made that play. Like, he passed off to Paul George in the Brooklyn game. And I don't even think that Westbrook necessarily has to pass the ball in that situation. He just can't take that
drive
shot.
Drive to the basket.
No, yeah, he can't take that shot. Like, it just – it should not be an option. And, like, you saw tonight, I think there were – and I can't confirm this because I didn't talk to Dennis Schroeder about it, but, like, I think there was a point where someone online was saying that Dennis Schroeder was upset with the shot that Westbrook took. Look, those guys should be upset. Like, if they work that hard to get to that point and somebody takes that kind of shot, they should be upset with Russell Westbrook. Like,
and that was right after Schroeder turned the ball over and then got it back, right?
Yeah, he turned the ball over. They get it back. I think he strips.
On the inbound play.
Yeah, he strips Donovan Mitchell because he turns the ball over. I think there's like 30 some odd seconds left. His pass gets deflected. He works back, strips Donovan Mitchell from behind, and then
it ends up like working out pretty well for them.
Yeah, and then they call timeout. Yeah, and then they call timeout, and then out of the timeout, I think Westbrook takes the three-pointer with 11 some odd seconds left, or 12, and it's just, that's not a good shot. That's never a good shot for Russell Westbrook. Like, even when it goes in, it's not a good shot. So it's like, when is it gonna stop? Like, when is it going to get there? And I don't know if it's ever going to get there, but it has to happen less frequently in order to like maximize what the Thunder can do going forward, because like this is a team that has the opportunity to be really good if they're doing the right things to put them in the right positions, because they should have lost that game. They definitely should have lost that game. Like, even outside of Westbrook's bad three-pointer, like, they should have lost that game because their defense wasn't good tonight. They gave up too many open threes. They gave up too many three-point attempts off of turnovers in the first half. I think they had 10 first-half turnovers that led to, like, 17 Jazz points. Like, they just got to be better at the little stuff. And right now, like, while Westbrook is doing some little stuff well, he's doing a lot of little stuff wrong. And it's putting him in terrible positions. And it's not going to last against good teams. Like, when you're playing good teams night after night, doing stuff like that's just not going to work. Like, you're going to lose games because of some of that stuff. And I've said this before, like, the Thunder are going to have to lose some games like that. With Westbrook playing poorly, because he's got to play he's playing a different way. But I mean, it's gonna suck, and it's gonna hurt their seeding. And, you know, they might wind up being a four seed instead of a two because Westbrook's not taking care of the ball. But I think that in the long run, like, if he starts to get an understanding and continues to play to where he doesn't take those kinds of shots, like, it's gonna help him in a playoff series. You just question it as it's happening because you don't know if it's ever going to happen, because you see it one game and then you don't see it for like three games. And that's the part where you're like, is this ever going to like translate fully? Is this ever going to make the turn?
I feel like we've been major Debbie Downers after.
Like, well, it's like you can be like, you can acknowledge the good that they went on the road and they won two road games, but you also have to acknowledge that Paul George saved their tails like twice. Westbrook saved them too by making some key plays, but also they were in that position because once Westbrook comes back in, they're taking some foolish shots. Like, the ball gets away from Paul George. And then you got to credit Westbrook in this regard. Like, he comes in, he does have some good possessions in the fourth quarter. He takes a possession where he's coming down in transition. He could take a shot. He comes back around. He gets Rubio one-on-one. He drives on him. He draws Gobert after he gets by Rubio, and he dumps off to Steven Adams, and they get a bucket for it. That's fine. Like, that's the stuff that Westbrook needs to do more often in crunch time moments. And I think for the most part this season, like, he's done that pretty well. It's just those certain games are so loud and they make so much racket within the whole context of Westbrook's season that it's hard not to just be Debbie Downers about those games. Particularly when a guy's been in the league 11 years and you think he should know, you know, how to close out games and how to manage time and place better than what we've seen him against Denver with 12 three-pointers, against Boston 0-for-5 in the third quarter, jacking three-pointers tonight, taking that three-pointer in a one-possession game. There's reason to be concerned about that stuff, because that stuff can single-handedly lose you games against good teams.
The past couple games where we've been talking about how well he's done other things to make up for his shooting, those games, he wasn't taking – his shot selection was better. He wasn't hitting them, but his shot selection was better. And that's why this game feels worse.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you have to speak about a win in this manner. And there are going to be people out there who are like, oh, well, you're crapping on Westbrook. Like, no, nah, man. Like, I think that overall the way he's managed this season has been good. But again, his missteps are so loud. Like, the way he finishes that game is so loud and so habitual in that we've seen it before and that he's been in this position before, yet he still makes that decision. Like, it leads you to it just makes you question whether or not it's ever going to fully register. Like, you want to see him do it for a month. You want to see him do it for 2 months, but you'll see him do it for two or three games, and then you'll see like, almost like a relapse. Like he's in rehab from like taking these bad shots, and then there's a relapse. So, like, and I think it's okay to question it and to doubt what this guy is doing, like, and what his intentions are, and if he'll ever get it. But I think for the most part, he's been solid this year, even though his shot has not been there. And I think his shot hasn't been there in part because he's trying to think about the game differently. And that's okay. I think that's positive for the Thunder. And I think it speaks to how good they've been and how fortunate they've been in some regard, because tonight they were fortunate that the Jazz, you know, missed a lot of shots. They went 11 of 18 from the free throw line, which is like 63. They did not outshoot the Thunder in any regard tonight, not even at the free throw line, which is stunning.
Hard
because
to do.
because the Thunder didn't shoot free throws well tonight either. So it's pretty remarkable.
But then Paul George happened.
Yeah, but then Paul George, good segue. The last I'll say about the Westbrook experience, it's pretty remarkable that the Thunder has been as good as they've been, missing Westbrook 8 games and him playing as poorly in terms of his shooting and his free throws and sometimes his shot discretion as he's been this year. I think it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, as somebody who just watches the game objectively, I want to see him be good. Like, I want to see him be efficient and be good, because that's another level this team can jump up to. Because they're 19th in the league in offense, which is, for their record, they're tied for the best record in the Western Conference. That's amazing considering their record, that they're 19th in the league in offense, because I can't imagine that the defense is going to play this well all season once they get into a tougher stretch of the schedule. Yeah. So,
and we've seen it waver a bit against tougher teams like Utah.
Right, so they're going to have some kind of offensive uptick just to be able to offset any defensive setbacks that they have, because they can't hold teams to 100 points per possession, per 100 possessions all year. And that's essentially what they've been doing, which is outstanding. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have a run up against better teams. They've got to get better offensively, and that starts with Westbrook, because Westbrook's been, he's been the guy in the starting lineup who has not been good enough offensively.
Yeah. Well, the two easy fixes would be get Westbrook to start hitting shots and just overall improve free throw shooting. Like, that gets you – I mean, how many did they miss tonight? Like, improve free throw shooting a little bit, and that can – make up a good 10 points every game, you know? 14 of 22 tonight. So maybe not, it's not 10 points here, but.
They're going to have free throw issues, because the guys that are getting fouled the most, you know, Steven Adams, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Jeremy Grant, of those guys, Paul George is really the only one who's consistently like in the 80s, in mid to, low to mid 80s in terms of free throw shooting. Westbrook,
Steven Adams, if he's shooting 60% from the free throw line, they're happy.
Yeah, but Westbrook inexplicably is Westbrook. I don't know if that's a touching the ball more thing, because in his MVP year, which seems like ages ago, but it was really only 2 years ago, he shot the highest percentage of his career. He shot 84%. And then all of a sudden, you know, they bring in Carmelo Anthony. You got to distribute the shots a little bit more. Next thing you know, the guy's down in the low 70s. Now he's down in the 60s. Trying to play a different style and getting Paul George the ball and getting Steven Adams more touches and Jeremy Grant. And, you know, all of those guys have seen an uptick in their offense. And Westbrook, trying to adjust, trying to play a different game, I think his free throws probably suffer from that too. He doesn't have the ball in his hands as much as he used to, and he's not getting as many touches. So it's just another thing they got to figure out. It's kind of like you kind of have to look at it as, is is Westbrook getting his offense right going to be the best thing for the Thunder? Like, him shooting higher percentages, I think, is going to be the best thing for the Thunder. But can he shoot a higher percentage if he isn't taking a ton of shots? That's the question. He's a volume guy because he's got to have that volume to have a comfort zone. So you might I'm not sure. I'm just asking the question out loud. Like, is Russell Westbrook just going to be an inefficient shooter because he's allowing Paul George to be Paul George, or he's getting Steven Adams the ball more, or they're getting Jeremy Grant open shots? Like, is that just going to have to be a sacrifice of Russell Westbrook's game that his shooting percentages are going to be low? Like, it's almost like you're adding to the total package of the team, but you're taking away something that was dynamic and that was different, that sort of set you apart from other teams too.
Yeah. Well, there's low, and then there's 3 of 17. Yes. Like, I honestly think that give him a few more games and he'll at least shoot better than that, you know? Like, he knows how to shoot. He's going to do better than 17%. You got to think, like, it would be astounding if he didn't.
Yeah, and again, it's taking the right shots. Like, when he came back from the arthroscopic knee surgery, he was getting to the rim more than he ever has in his entire career, and he was making a high percentage of those shots. The three-pointers were down. He was getting to the rim. Then the ankle injury comes in. He comes back from the ankle injury, and he's jacking threes. So he's got to find his equilibrium again. We've talked way too much about Russell Westbrook tonight.
Yeah, I keep trying to talk about Paul George.
Look, Westbrook's important. He holds the keys to the season in his hands. Like, this, look, as good as Paul George is, as good as Steven Adams is, this is all going to come down to whether or not Russell Westbrook gets right mentally, his offensive game, whether he's engaged defensively. It always comes back to Westbrook. He's the sun, and everybody else is orbiting around him. As good as Paul George is, even though Paul George should be the sun because he is playing at an unbelievable level right now, Russell Westbrook is the sun. Russell Westbrook is the center of the universe, and he has to be operating at a high level for this team to reach its peak because he's making $38 million. you can't just push that under the rug and say, oh, well, oh, Russell Westbrook's not an important part of this team anymore. No, he's the center of the team. Like, he.
No, I 100% agree. We've also talked for like a half an hour without talking about the man who scored 43 points today.
He was unbelievable. I'm running out of ways to summarize what Paul George does and how easy he's making it look right now.
Will you describe for us what it was like, because he talked post game about having essentially a little extra juice for returning to Utah. Can you talk about the fan?
Yeah, like he was barking with this lady on the baseline. It was I think it was just like a friendly kind of thing or whatever, but he was talking to her, and then he hits this shot in front of Joe Ingles, and he's like, they can't hold me. They can't hold me because the fans were on him a little bit because of the game six stuff and how bad he was in game six. He only had like, I think he had 6 points in that game. He was terrible. But the guy, the types of shots he's hitting right now, the rhythm he's in, the ease with which he is kind of setting up these shots and going into them, there's no, as hesitant as Westbrook is right now, Paul George is the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of his comfort zone, and it is a privilege to watch. Like, Barry Trimble tried to shoot me down on this a couple nights ago, but like, in the time I've been covering the Thunder, and people, please don't act like I'm saying that Paul George is as good as Kevin Durant. Please don't say that. I'm putting it down right now. But I am not, like, Kevin's the closest thing I've seen on this team, in this franchise, in terms of a guy who, when he gets the ball, just goes immediately into a move. There's a smoothness. There's a – it's automatic. And right now, Paul George is in that kind of groove where he gets the ball, he knows exactly where he's going to go and what he wants to do, and he's executing it. And poor Joe Ingles, man. He lit Joe Ingles on fire. And it was a privilege to watch. And it's a big contrast right now offensively of what Paul George is doing and what Russell Westbrook is. It looks like everything Paul George is doing is coming easy. And everything that Russell Westbrook is getting on offense, even when he makes a shot, it looks really difficult.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's crazy the stretch that he's been on. When he first started having really efficient high-scoring games, I honestly expected it to fade pretty quickly because we'd seen him be streaky before.
Super streaky. Super streaky this season.
And it's just continue. Like, he has good numbers overall, but I was looking at just December. He's scoring the second most points in the league behind Harden. And he's also playing really good defense. Like, that's in December specifically. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, like tonight he shot 60% from the field and 50% from three.
Yeah. And look, I try to be objective about this stuff. Like, I look at Paul George's game and I'm like, okay, I can't just sit here and bang on Russell Westbrook for doing this, this, and this and not look at Paul George's game objectively. Like, he got roasted on that last play with Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell crossed him out of his shoes.
100%. That could have tied it up and set him into overtime, and who knows what would have happened at that point.
Yeah, but, like, aside from that, like, Paul George isn't doing a ton of stuff really egregiously wrong. I mean, he's picking up guys on the perimeter. He's destroying plays single-handedly with block steal combinations in the same play. He's coming over and help stealing the ball along the baseline. Then he got called out of bounds, even though he wasn't out of bounds. I think the official thought his heels were out of bounds, but it looked like he was kind of hovering. You know, he has 5 steals tonight. He's just doing a lot of things to really get this team into good positions. Even the shots he takes that miss that are contested, sometimes I have issues with those. The way he's shooting right now, I'm kind of like, just go ahead, man. I'd rather you take a contested three than Russell Westbrook take an open three right now. So just have at it, man. Like, you.
And he caught fire in your favorite quarter.
Yeah, look, man, third quarters. That was different. That was just Paul George taking over and
22 points.
22 points in the third. And you know, I think the Jazz contributed to that a lot too. They missed some open threes. Derek Favors was terrible. For as well as he started, that third quarter was awful. I think he missed about 3 shots around the rim. Gobert didn't play a ton in that quarter. I think they were trying to preserve him on the second night of a back-to-back and, you know, spread his minutes out some. So not having Gobert out there was big for them too in the third quarter, and that's how the Thunder was kind of able to, you know, take advantage. And Paul George just made some really tough shots. Made that fadeaway three in the corner, you know, hit some threes, hit that three in transition over Ingles, and you know, I think he got a three when the Jazz turned it over where they had a chance to go up double digits. They turn the ball over, and it just spills out to Dennis Schroeder, and he just goes straight back to Paul George, and he fires one up. Like, some of that stuff is fortunate, but some of that is giving Paul George second opportunities to make plays, and you can't give Paul George, like, second looks at threes right now. It's just that's a recipe for disaster. Hey, recipe for disaster. Recipe. There you go. I talk too much. What did you think? What did you think tonight of the Dennis Schroeder experience? This is his first game since Monday, since he got suspended.
It's
his first game since Monday.
First game since Monday. What day of the week is it? I've gotten that wrong several times.
Technically it's Sunday now because of the hours, but They played on Saturday. They played against the Jazz. So, yeah, you know, Schroeder, I thought, like I said about the Westbrook thing, if Westbrook would have fouled out, I'd have been like, oh, okay, Schroeder, get in there, rock and roll. I didn't think Schroeder was – I think he got better as the game went on. When he started off, he had – I think when he first came in, he – toward the end of the first quarter, he had three turnovers in like a cluster of like five possessions. And I was like, oh, boy, like Dennis Schroeder's back and not doing things right. But I think he got better as the game went on. You know, they got when they get Gobert out of there in the third quarter, Schroeder got better, hits that transition three, you know, made up for that turnover at the end of the game where he just basically, I think, got a ball deflected on the inbounds pass, you know, getting the ball back from Dennis Mitchell, not Dennis Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell.
Dennis Mitchell.
Dennis Mitchell.
Dennis, names.
Whatever.
But like combined into one in that moment.
But yeah, Schroeder was better than Westbrook offensively. Let's say that much. Had his floater working. Probably should have retweeted my floater story tonight. Floater looked good.
because right after you wrote that, his floater was not good.
Everybody was pretty good offensively in the starting five except for Westbrook. He was the only one who was really not good offensively. Steven Adams had a slow start. He was like 1 of 5 to start, but he got better as the game went on, and you know, he's been really successful against Favors. And when they went away from Rudy Gobert in the third quarter, even though he only had one foul, and they were just trying to preserve him on the second night of a back-to-back, you know, Steven started doing some damage. And then you had Jeremy Grant, who had a great first quarter, who really kept them afloat when nobody was shooting particularly well. Even Paul George started off slow. Hell, Jeremy Grant's been so consistent.
Jeremy, he's like consistent from three, consistent on defense. Did you expect him to be this good?
No, not at all. I didn't think he would be able to keep up this pace from three. You know, taking the right 3-point shots. Not taking a ton of them. And, you know, just showing off a different kind of array of shots tonight. He had a lot of different stuff that he usually doesn't. He had like a fadeaway jump shot in the lane, which I'm not necessarily a fan of.
And I believe his three, I think the one that he hit was from the top of the arc. I might be wrong about that.
Off the top of my head, I think you are correct.
Which, usually he's just living in those corners, but...
Yeah, bring it back to Westbrook for a minute. He was a minus 12 tonight, and plus minus is off deceptive.
Flawed.
Yeah, it's a flawed metric, and it's deceptive, but I think that was pretty indicative of his night tonight. I mean, as soon as he came back in the fourth quarter, the thing just got tight. And...
Yeah. Granted, that also has to do with he was off the floor for that third quarter because of it's foul trouble, so
right, and that also coincides with him being in foul trouble, and it coincides with Rudy Gobert, because Rudy Gobert comes back when Westbrook comes back, and you know the Jazz are just a better team with Gobert out there. They're just better defensively, so not a great game from Mr. Westbrook. I can say that with all honesty. Thunder. They caught a break tonight. They really did. Because the Jazz looked like they had tired legs at the end of the game.
The Jazz honestly started off better than I expected because they don't play particularly well on back end of back-to-backs or haven't this season. So that first quarter, I was like, oh, man, they're in trouble. But both the Thunder got it together. They're actually becoming a pretty good second quarter team.
Yeah. And credit to them in this regard. They give up 17 points off turnovers in the first half, which is obviously not good. And then they give up 4 in the second half. So when they did turn the ball over in the second half, they weren't giving up points off of it. They were either, you know, getting the ball back, which we saw a couple times with Schroeder getting his ball back after he turned it over, with Westbrook, you know, getting the steal. Or they were just getting defensive stops. So, you know, to hold a team to 45 points in the second half after you give up, you know, however many, give 61 in the first half, that's better turnaround. And I guess we could talk about it for ages, but we've already dug into the Westbrookian nonsense and the pick and roll buffoonery and Paul George's brilliance, which we probably didn't talk enough about because he led the Thunder in rebounds too. He had 14 rebounds, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, but scoring 40 points has just become old hat.
It's the first time in his career he scored back-to-back 40-point games, which I find surprising.
Well, congrats, Paul.
So nonchalant. Congrats, Paul. I don't know if the Thunder can play Patrick Patterson anymore. He hasn't been great. He actually made a shot tonight. He had a nice little turnaround in the post, which I did not think was going in because I had a good angle on it. And I was like, oh, that's not going in. That's short. But he made it.
To be completely honest, I don't even remember that shot.
I remember it because it was right in front of us. And we're back. Yeah, I've tossed around a couple names that are out there on the market that are on bad teams that might want to give up a guy like Phoenix might want to give up Dragan Bender, who's young and cheap, or Chicago might want to get rid of Bobby Portis so they can stink even more and get a better draft pick. Kylo Quinn's playing for Indiana. It's like, look, you're not looking for a guy to save the world. Like, you're not going to be able to go get a guy like Otto Porter from Washington, or you're not going to be able to go get a guy like, I don't know, people like Terrence Ross, who's a wing. Like, they're going to ask a lot for a Terrence Ross. Maybe a guy like Jonathan Simmons, who, you know, is making pretty low end money for a guy of his caliber. I think he's making maybe like $6 million or something like that. That's a guy that maybe Orlando might want to part with. But it all depends on what these other teams are asking for. That's the thing. Do you want to give up a Hamidou Diallo to get a backup four? That's the question. Do you want to give up Terrence Ferguson to get a backup four? A lot of people would say yes because a lot of people hate Terrence Ferguson.
But the Thunder loves him.
The Thunder loves all their players until they trade them. So, yes, obviously you want to find somebody who can play better than Patrick Patterson. Like, that's not a question. The question is, what are you willing to part with and what's available? And as of now, I don't have the answers to those questions. I think that they need an upgrade there, and they can always use a wing that can hit a three. Every team in the league needs a wing that can hit a three. That's why it's not easy to get those guys. So, that being said, we will see what happens because certainly they need to upgrade their bench in some manner, and they need Russell Westbrook to upgrade his life because he's really important. So, with that being said, we're going to go because the Thunder has a game in less than 24 hours. Thanks for joining me, Maddie. Thanks for staying up late.
Of course. It's been a blast.
Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast tonight, y'all. Download it, share it, like it, love it, Apple Podcasts. And give it as a gift this holiday season, of course, because this is the season of giving. And we will see you after the Thunder plays the Timberwolves on Sunday.